smile. We're pleased to have the missions team with us to share this morning. I'm going to invite them to just come on and make themselves at home and share everything God puts on their heart. They've been given a little bit of license here, so don't be surprised if sharing and testimony turns into ministry. So it's up to you guys. Now, is there anybody here who doesn't know who these guys are?
I'm Dave Rutho. This is my wife, Joy. We work with Jim Bucci's youth group in State College. So I wanted to share this morning just kind of a ridiculous testimony of what just kind of happened to us this week. Because I think a lot of times we think when we go to the mission field and we come back, everything just kind of goes back to normal. But I really believe that Jesus is the normal.
Amen.
And so we're all just trying to get to Jesus, right? We want Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus is the standard. And so everywhere we go, we want Jesus. That's what we're trying to portray. We want to be like Jesus. So we came home, and we had decided that any money we raised in Ecuador for that trip, we were going to give away to it. It's staying in Ecuador. We're not taking any home. And so we came home, and we had what we had saved for our bills, you know, and we had some other stuff, and money was supposed to come in, and it never came in. And so we came home, and our account was it. Bills got paid. We were at zero. I'm like, all right, Jesus. Bills are paid. I got some food in my car. I'm happy, you know. Not comfortable, but I'm happy. She goes to her mom's house, and there's a letter there for us from a bank, an account we closed 4 years ago. And they're like, oh, yeah, we paid you some money, but we forgot to pay you the rest. Here's a check for $150. And that 4 years ago, and they're paying us for an account we don't have. God is good. We really believe that God is good all the time.
Amen.
I had the privilege of stealing your youth leader here. And it was really funny because we talked about getting together and praying beforehand and doing all this stuff. And it really just didn't happen. My life was insane. I was working on a project that really kind of came up last minute for her father-in-law. So all of my spare time literally went to work. And I even had to recruit her to come work for me to do that. And we still, I put 130 hours in like 2 weeks, 3 weeks-ish. And still didn't finish it before we left. I'm still working on it when I got back. So it was just insane. We would go home, we go to work, come back. We would all pass out, just dead tired. Get up, go back to work. And you're like, going on a mission trip. We need to be spiritual. We need to pray. It didn't happen. I'm not going to lie. We prayed Sunday and we prayed Wednesday when we were at youth group. Like, the rest of the time, we were asleep. And yet, God did such amazing things. And I love it because it wasn't based on what we did. It was based on who He is. And we, all of us, you know, were just amazed at how we entered into this thing and said, yeah, we'll go. You know, God, I'm willing. I could give you a list of why I shouldn't go. I mean, I can lay it out for you. It's a mile long. God's like, no, I called you. Okay. So we're just going to share some of the stories of, I know Lindsay's just bubbling at the seams. She's seen some ridiculous things. But I want to say this right now, is right now, there is worship in the jungle happening. Right now. They are lifting up the name of Jesus at four different villages. That's just amazing. Right now, we are joining in with the people of the Ecuadorian jungle, praising Jesus. Isn't that amazing? So I don't know about you, but that gets me excited. So we're just going to share some stories. I'm going to let your leader go first. So
I'll just switch sides. It's a lot easier than tripping over cords. Well, first of all, I have to say I've really enjoyed this couple right here. I've learned immensely from just watching them. They probably are like, what? But I have. The way that they have compassion and love for people is simply amazing. And I'm changed just when I am around them, just watching them do what they do normally. But
just another day in the kingdom.
Another day in the kingdom. It was an awesome trip. Like Dave said, we kind of started out. We really didn't get to pray. We didn't really get to plan. So we're just like, okay, God, use us.
What was it? You had a 48-hour notice that we needed crafts for 60 kids in the jungle.
Yes, I had a 48-hour notice that we needed crafts, and I was in charge. I was like, Great.
We have been trying to get a hold of the jungle pastor. They actually now have power in the jungle, which is amazing. The government paid to bring, they want to educate the people, so they're bringing in materials to educate the people to try to get them to be able to be, I guess, not third world is their goal. So he finally got on Facebook, which is just very rare because in the summer he lives in the jungle. Like, he doesn't go back to, he lives there, he just goes to get water and food, and then he's in there all week. So we just finally happened. I tried all year. I had like one Facebook message from him all year. Finally, it was like Friday, and I think we were leaving like Tuesday. And he's like, oh, by the way, I need crafts for 60 kids. We're only allowed 2 bags per people, and we're bringing stuff for a month. And I'm like, Lindsay's got room.
When you're the last person to get invited to go on the mission trip, and they're the last person that they recruit, you know it's because they want something. Just keep that in mind. If you get recruited last minute, you're in for it. Anyway, no, that really wasn't their intent, but I can pick. The ministry really started. Well, we get there on Tuesday or Wednesday. No, we left Tuesday. We got there
like Wednesday at 5
morning.
5 a.m. or something.
It takes about 23 hours to get there. That was fun. Anyway, but the ministry really started Friday night. We did a men's and women's conference. Mm-hmm. So we broke up half and half. Dave and the other member of our team, Michael, who's not here, went with the guys. Joy and I went with the girls, and we each did a session, and we talked, and we prayed together. And that was a really nice opening. It felt like, okay, we're in Ecuador. We, you know, just preached and prayed for people, got to share. Now it feels like we're kind of into the mission. The next night, Dave preached and he talked about healing, and we each shared testimonies of how God has either healed us or healed other people through our prayers or, you know, someone else that we know.
I think we even shared the chicken story.
Yes, we shared the chicken story. Laurel's in the back, so she can't hear this right now. But we shared Laurel's story, for those of you who know what she went through. Just an amazing, amazing time. So then we opened it up. Okay, you know, who needs healing and who wants to pray for other people to be healed? You know, because you can't just go into a place and heal everybody and leave. You gotta teach them how to do it. So that when you go, they're still working. And that was one of Dave's goals, I know. And
For me, I heard a speaker named Chris Gore, and he said God really spoke to him one time, and he kind of used the analogy of a lamp. And he said, you know, he's like, if you go and you do miracles, it's like plugging in the lamp. But then when you leave, the lamp gets unplugged if you don't raise anybody that walks in the power. And God really spoke to me. He said, what if you never go back? What if you never go back? And it was just like, and it really challenged him and broke him, because he's just like, what's the point? I don't want to go do spiritual tricks and then I leave and the power turns off. He's like, I want to go and I want to raise up people who can be plugged into Jesus. You know, I just want to go and charge your batteries and then let you guys do what you do. And so we really made, you know, I made that known to Joey, and that was our heart. And it was awesome to see Lindsay go, yeah, that's what we want to do. We want to raise up people who are going to walk in power, so.
It was fun. So I remember one of the girls that came up. There was a video of this on YouTube, those who, or not
it's
YouTube,
insane.
Facebook.
Insane.
For those of you who don't Facebook, I'll tell it. Joy and I were praying for this girl that comes up, and she says, you know, there's a problem in my back. But later on, we found out that she had scoliosis for, I guess, since she was born years. You know, her back was shaped the wrong way, and this caused back pain for her. On a regular basis. And she comes up and asks for prayer. So Joy and I start praying for her. She said she felt her back heat up. And when we were finished, she felt that she had a straight back. Well, sometimes when you're in church services, you know, you feel God's presence. You go home and it's like those symptoms try to come back in. But she said she went home. She was putting on her pajamas. She put her hands on her hips. She looked in the mirror and she noticed a difference. And she said, my back is normal. My back is straight. And she said she just was overwhelmed with God's goodness. She started to cry and started to praise God out loud on her knees from her room. And her mom heard her. Her mom comes back and says, what is going on? And she told the story. She said, I went to this conference. My back got healed. God healed my back. It's straight. And you know, maybe not quite fully convinced, her mother said, well, lay down on the floor and we're going to test this. She had her lay on the floor and felt up her spine, and she said her mother couldn't speak because she was crying and praising the Lord that her daughter's back was straight. And, you know,
that's amazing.
It's amazing. Like we said, there's nothing really special about us or what we did. I'm not trained to heal people. I just said, you know, God, if you want to use me, you know, here's my hands.
Amen.
Guess what? If you're willing to let him use you, he's willing to move through you.
You know, the crazy thing about that story is her fiance boyfriend, is the lead guitar player for the church that we were serving out of, and he had a cyst in his wrist. He was scheduled for surgery that week to get it removed, and they said, you may never play guitar again. It's a possibility. And he's going to college just to be a music conductor. And he's something to do with being able to play guitar is how he's getting through. It's part of the training or something. And so we prayed for him. It's completely gone. He got to cancel the surgery. Yeah. So it's just like watching God not only affect her, but then also affecting her boyfriend. It's amazing. What a great God, right?
I could go on and on. We saw a lot of miracles. We saw, crazy things.
Basket day.
We had legs growing out all over the place. People had uneven, it seemed to be a common problem there. People either had a hip problem or a leg problem where one foot is shorter than the other. So we got used to just sitting people in a chair, having them back up all the way and stick their feet out. And you'd see, you know, a foot difference. There was one lady that we prayed for. It was extreme.
Yeah, it was.
And I think it was Joy that was actually holding her ankles, and you could just see it coming, and all of a sudden just pop, right, and just right before your eyes. God just amazed us on the trip.
Basket day was overwhelming.
I'll let you tell about Basket day. That was your favorite place.
Basket day was God shattering my perception of what healing looked like. Picture your stage, you know, you have the same, almost a little bit smaller stage, and they had it curtained off so we could have kind of a private room in the back, and so that, you know, we could talk to the people one-on-one, you know, like, didn't want to have their business out in the open, and, you know, and I got that. And so, you know, we were just going to give out medical stuff, and so we had, like, some anti-parasites and, you know, aspirin and vitamins, and just kind of had it set in the back, and I don't know why, I'm assuming it's God, you know, I was like, hey, we should pray for them first, you know. Go figure, we're on a mission trip, we should pray, right? And Pastor Pedro was like, yeah, I was like, so is it okay if we bring them up one by one and we'll just kind of pray over them first and then, you know, explain them one-on-one and what the stuff is? Like, yeah, that's a great idea. Every single person that came through the line got healed. There was anywhere between 30 to 35. We didn't count. It was just insane. And so service is supposed to start at 6:30. I don't know what time it was that we're like, we need to get this done. It was past that point, and so we actually had to split the team in half. You went with Michael and Pedro. Me and Joy went with Pedro's son, who speaks really good English. Well, the problem is they don't speak Spanish. They speak Quechuan in Basket day. So we were translating from English to Spanish to Quechuan and then back, and it was really funny because it didn't always work. But, like, every miracle that we had on this side of the stage was being mirrored on that side of the stage. We had people whose eyes, you couldn't see their eyeballs. They were completely clouded. Instantly, you'd see this blue eye looking at you. And then Mike would go, dude, I just saw an eye clear up. You're like, were you looking over here? He's like, no, it just happened here. But it was insane because we were just like, yeah, we'll pray for people. Well, we'll pray. Yeah, God, let's do it. But every single person. And so for me, that was an amazing thing because I'm thinking, yeah, one or two people get healed. Well, what happens when an entire village gets healed? It's just another day in the kingdom.
I think my favorite part of the trip was actually going to the jungle, which shocks a lot of people.
The jungle.
Yeah. And, you know, I went down having these grand plans. Like, we're going to do this, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do this. It's going to be amazing. And they're going to get touched by God, and it's going to be awesome. Well, I got down to the village, and one of the first things that happened, we were swarmed by kids. And this little girl with the biggest blue eyes ever. Or no, they were brown eyes, but they were beautiful anyway. She came up beside me and grabbed my hand and would let go. looking at me. And it was just one of those things that my heart broke for them because they want attention and they want love. That's all they want.
Yeah.
So my plans basically went down the drain, and I was like trying to figure out, okay, now what do I do? Like everything I had planned was just gone because the biggest need they had was love.
Amen.
And I realized we had gone down there to love on people. That was our biggest, I don't know, ministry, I guess, was just to love on people. And then to watch God move. After we had established that they are loved, then God was able to move.
Amen.
And so that just kind of, you know, shattered my mission trip that, you know, we were having all these grand plans and the services were going to be amazing because most of the ministry happened on the soccer field. Most of our ministry happened watching other people play soccer.
Swimming in the river.
Or swimming in the river. Like, that's when most of our ministry happened, not in church service.
Yeah.
It was playing with the kids and just loving on them, letting know someone cared. Yep. And they were willing to spend time with them.
We had kids. We went to three other villages, and we had, I mean, they had to be 7, 8, 10, 12-year-olds following us. We went to that other village. It was like an hour and a half hike over two mountains on a mud trail. I mean, it was... You had to wear mud boots, and you're just like, quick, and your boot would come off, and you're like, come on. Like, I mean, it was soup. And we got these kids, they're following us, and they're running along with us, and they're excited to be around us because we're loving on them. And so they're running into the villages ahead of us, gathering up kids. And as we walk in, there's a crowd of more. I mean, every village had like 50-some kids. And it was just, and they just wanted to be loved on. And it was so awesome to be able to be the father to kids. I mean, and even Pastor Romero, everywhere he went, he's the jungle pastor. He would start with the kids. He would just almost ignore the adults. You know, he'd say hi and he'd greet them and he'd be nice to them, but he would just go play with the kids. That's all he would do. He'd walk into a village and start playing with the kids. And you'd watch the parents just kind of, they'd all kind of clump together and trying to figure out what's going on. And he'd spend 3-4 hours playing with the kids, and then he'd go, all right, let's go tell these guys about Jesus. And he'd go because they're already gathered. And like, he's just like, this is what we do. You love on people. The jungle was, I mean, it was insane. Well, Michael Asado, for those that don't speak Spanish, asado means roasted. And so Michael got really red in the sun, and he was bad. He was burnt. And I made the joke, it's Michael Asado. And so all the kids thought that was his name, and they loved it. So every village we went to, everywhere, Michael Asado, Michael. That's all you would hear all the time, Michael Asado.
Roasted Michael. Everywhere.
Neither thought there were cannibals here.
I really like, in the jungle, I think for the first couple of days, we were kind of lost because they also speak Quechuan in the jungle, but it's a different Quechuan than they speak in the mountains. We barely speak Spanish. We definitely don't speak Quechuan. I learned two words.
Ai-cha-chai.
I learned Ai-cha-chai, which means you are cold. We heard that more in Basquete than we did in the jungle.
Mm-hmm.
It's not cold there. And I learned Ali Punja, which means good day. That was it. And I think for the first couple of days, I kind of walked around and I was like, I have no idea. If you would ask me how the ministry is going, I'd be like, I have no idea. I can't understand what they're saying. I don't know if they love us, if they hate us, if they're annoyed with us, if they think, you know, I really don't know because I can't understand a word that's going on. So I'm just, you know, smiling, playing with kids. We went and we passed out medical supplies. We have the doctor in the house, or at least, you know, she has been elevated to doctor level in the jungle. They were like, you're the doctor, right? And she'd be like, no. medic. No, you're the doctor. So we have our doctor in the house. And I talked to the pastor and his wife a few days in. We had a long sit down with them and, you know, just asking them questions and why they do the ministry. And they said, you know, we have been praying for God to send, you know, people who can help more. Because they said as they go and they visit the villages, they spend time with the people, and they build those relationships that are so important. But sometimes they said they talk about God's love and they talk about this love, but the people don't see it. But they said when we brought medical supplies in the first village that we visited, they were just amazed that people cared about their needs, people from another country.
Yeah.
They just couldn't grasp why we would come. Why in the world would we come? Well, then that opens the door for Pastor Romero and his wife to say, Jesus is the reason why we come. Jesus is the reason we care about you.
That's
Jesus
good.
Cares about you. He sent us here. And they said that, you know, what we did in the jungle didn't seem like a lot to us. But they said the doors to the gospel flung wide open in those communities. And that was so important to me because maybe we can't directly speak to them in their language and take them, you know, and bring them to Christ. But if we can come alongside Pastor Romero and his wife and help open the doors for them, you know, they're fully capable of bringing someone to Christ. And they said that, you know, the doors to the gospel are just wide open now because they have seen the love of Christ.
And that last night that our four were in the jungle was just that last, we did a church, we left on a Sunday. And so we did church service, and you know, it's tough because the kids are very responsive, you know, but the people are just kind of very, they have a very straight face, they don't really show all that much. And they came up that Sunday morning, and every single person in the church hugged us, and they were so excited. And even the elder of the church was like, "Anytime you guys want to come back, you are welcome here. We want you to come back. Come back longer next year." You know, and like she said, you're sitting there, you're going, I don't know what kind of impact that we had. And all of a sudden, until you hear someone like Pastor Miro goes, you don't understand the love that you have shown and the door that you opened by just being willing to love people. It's not, oh, because you're an evangelist. I hate evangelizing. You know, we went evangelizing at the mall. You know, that's not my strong gift, but we did it anyway. And we saw people healed at the mall. That's a different story. But like, it's not because I'm some great faith preacher or because I have, but I'm willing to love. Because I'm willing to say, yeah, God, I'll love people the way you love me. Yeah, they drive me nuts because the rooster crows at 3 a.m, but, you know, I'll go and love on people. I can do that, right? And as a result, we got to share the gospel in four villages and people came to know Jesus and healings happened. It's not because we're great. It's because he's great. And I think sometimes, you know, this is a challenge for me, but maybe even for you that, you know, we think, well, I don't have those gifts, I can't do anything. The Bible says that we all have love because we know God. And so if we know love, we can show people the kingdom because God is love. So, what else do we want to share? So yeah, the jungle is amazing. They were going back, we weren't even out of the country and we were planning for next year. Oh my God, the hot springs, yeah.
Hot springs revival.
The hot springs revival. So this is insane. When the youth came down, life got really ridiculous. It was a lot of moving parts and a lot of moving people and a lot of obnoxious teenagers. I love you guys. You know, they're all excited, you know, they're like, yeah, we're on a mission trip. I'm like, I've been here for 19 days. Shh, sleep. You know, sleep really didn't happen. But we took them to the jungle for a day. And then on the way back, they stopped at the hot springs. And the hot springs are amazing. You're on the side of the volcano. The water's hot. Some of them are ice cold. You know, you we're like just relaxing. And pretty much my group is all but falling asleep in the hot. Like, we were out. We were so tired. And one of the kids,
Yeah, to go from the night before.
Oh, okay, yeah, sorry. The night before, we're in the hotel in Tana. And actually, I'm going to tell this story about you. Because I love Lindsay and I can pick on her. We were at this little tiny, picture a garage, a very small, like one of them U Locket places. And picture having a church in there. Because that's kind of what
it was. I need to start a couple hours early. Start this one,
yeah.
You can finish
it. All right, you start it.
This is going to be an embarrassing story, but oh well. We were visiting a village and doing our thing, passing out medical supplies, playing with the kids, doing all of that, and Jim Bucci was supposed to preach at this church service in the evening, and he wasn't feeling good. He was have him struggling with sickness on the whole trip to the jungle and back.
I've never seen him throw up on a bus or get motion sickness. I don't think we made it more than like 30 minutes at a pop before.
Yeah, we had to stop at least 3 times on the way to the jungle for him. I won't go any further than that because it's not really pleasant. So he's not feeling good. He's like, Lindsay, I don't know how good you are at preaching on the fly, but do you want to preach at the service tonight? I'm like, okay. I'm like, inside I'm going, why did I say that? Why did I say that? And so, yeah, I don't even have my Bible with me. I'm like, I don't have a Bible. I don't, you know, I had nothing, just preaching on flight. But I did preach. I wasn't the only one that ended up preaching. It was a great church service. So
it was amazing. She did a fantastic job.
Already I'm way out of my comfort zone. I start preaching without my Bible with an interpreter. It's crazy to start with. We were having a great time, though. So I'll let you. The Spirit of God just falls, though.
So everybody's crying. People are on the floor. People are getting healed. Like, it's insane. And I'm like, and I'll go over to Lindsay. I'm like, I feel like I have a word for you. And I won't share the word. But it was just so funny because she hits the ground. Ah! And I'm like, and I'm looking, I'm like, what? She's like, the Holy Spirit's a tattletale. So that was hilarious. You know, like, we were just having a great time just hanging out with Jesus. And so we go back to the hotel. Was it that night? Was it that night or the next night? Or the next morning? It was that night. Mm-hmm. We're sitting in this wannabe hot tub, but there's no water in it. It's just kind of like the cement bowl. And it was nice because it was big enough to kind of get everybody together. And I think Pastor Pedro gave the word that God wanted to use us in extraordinary ways or in our everyday places. Bucci. And we're like, okay, so that's really cool. And we had this time of ministry and we're just praying for each other. So then we go to the hot springs.
A couple people actually started talking about expectations. And just the overwhelming word was that the Holy Spirit wanted to change our expectations so that we expect Him to move in everyday situations.
There you go.
Even when we're not in ministry mode or a church, He still wants to move. So then
we went to the hot springs. And like I said, my team is, where I'm out of it, I'm like, just leave me here. Like, I'm good. And so Samuel, who's one of the leaders in youth group, very, you know, new leader, he's like, I want to be baptized in the pool because he loves geology. I'm like, we'll baptize him in the hot springs. What a cool thing. So Pastor Pedro has the worship, some of the kids, they're like, sing some worship songs. And it was kind of cloudy. So they start singing worship songs. This is no joke. The clouds part and the sun starts shining on the hot spring that we're sitting, the particular one. Like, it was just this little part, and you could see the sun, and it just brightened up where we were. And I'm like, okay, that's ridiculous, God. You know, because you're like, is it just coincidence, or is God about to? You have those thoughts. I mean, maybe you don't, you know, but pray for me. I'm not there yet. So we baptize Samuel. Jim Bucci baptized Samuel with Pedro. Pedro gives an altar call. 3 people in the pot spring next to us come down. They get baptized. He gives another altar call. 4 people got healed, and 6 people received Jesus as we sit in a hot spring. That's ridiculous.
I could get used to hot springs ministry.
and it was so funny because it doesn't faze Pastor Pedro. He's just like, yeah, another day in the kingdom. Like, this is his normal. And I'm just like, you know what? I think that's what it should be. What if every time we went to Walmart, we just expected God to show up? You know, Bill Johnson, I don't know if you guys know Bethel at all. Somebody's like, we want to join your mall ministry. He's like, we don't have a mall ministry. We just have people that go shopping. He tells this story about a guy who went for donuts. You know, he's like, man of God, he needed holy food, donuts. And he goes and ends up praying for like 5 people, and a bunch of people get saved, and like one dude gets a new hip. One guy couldn't play, he was a piano teacher, like arthritis or something so bad he couldn't play anymore. Instantly healed. One lady was deaf, gets healed at the cash register line. She gives her testimony over the intercom at the store. So all this stuff happens. But he leaves without his donuts. Like, just because he wanted to go get donuts. Think about that. Raise your expectations. What are you expecting? I mean, everywhere we went to the mall, and Pedro's like, he goes in his office, he pulls out these like little books. He's like, 10 of them. I'm like, what are those? He's like, yeah, maybe we'll give them out at the mall. So we're walking around the mall. He's like, wow, we'll do it outside. We'll talk to people as they come in and out. So every person who was limping, had a breathing thing, like anything that we saw, we're like, oh, let's go pray for them. Like, I don't like doing that. And I'm leading the group. I'm like, yeah, let's go. I don't speak Spanish. You know, like I'm running out. And we're giving out these tracts and people are receiving Jesus in the mall because we went shopping and we needed food. Like, it wasn't because we're like, we're going to go pray. We're like, yeah, you know, we'll talk to somebody about Jesus in the mall. That doesn't happen. Well, that's like insane. But yet that was Jesus doing what Jesus wants to do. And we really believe that God wants to do more. I think God wants to do stuff tonight, this morning. I don't know about you, but I sense the presence. So, anything else you guys want to share? Pedro's church Sunday morning. Yeah.
Well, Pedro's church Sunday morning, we just saw more of God move in the same, you know. God continues to be amazing whether we choose to see it or not. We found that when we go, okay, we're going to kind of notice God when he shows up. He just blows your expectations out of the water. But I think I always like to share something that I learn while I'm on a missions trip. And I think the biggest change in me and what I learned is to simply walk in my identity.
Amen.
And you don't have to go on a missions trip to walk in your identity. And what I mean by that is God has saved me, he has empowered me, and he's given me authority. And I just needed to exercise it. And I felt like I finally stepped out of the, well, I'm shy and maybe I'm not that confident or whatever, to just, okay, whatever, Lord, let's just go do this. And I felt like I walked in my identity the whole time. And I pray that over each and every one of you, that you would see yourself through God's eyes and you would walk in your identity, Amen. Christ, and you would walk in the authority of Christ. And it's fun.
It is. There was a boldness that came on her when she first got in Ecuador. She was just like, I don't know what to do. Like you could, there was just kind of this, like, she's got her backpack on. She's like, her eyes are big like a deer in a headlight. By the end, she's like, let's go pray for people. Like, oh no, we created a monster. She's like, I can't wait to get back. We're going to pray for people in Walmart. I'm like,
yes.
Who are you?
Yes, I am a monster now, so look out. Beware. If you want to have a good time, let's go shopping today.
So, you know, like I said in the beginning, you know, it is our desire that we really want to raise up people everywhere we go. You know, I know last year we came back from that overnight and we shared Laura's testimony and amazing things happened. And I was thinking about that, like, in my heart, I want to raise up people everywhere I go that walk in that power. So that when, you know, I think as nature is, like, we see people walk in power and we're like, oh, we just got to get to them. We just got to get to them and then we can be healed. No, you got to get to Jesus. You just got to get to Jesus. And Jesus is in you, he's in me. If you believe, he's in you, right? The same spirit that was in Jesus that empowered him is the same spirit he gave to us. So if Jesus can heal, and Jesus is in you, and the Spirit is in you, you can heal. All right? I mean, 1 + 1 = 2, 2 + you know. It's simple, but yet I think a lot of times we don't focus on Jesus. We focus on the people walking in it. So I know as we talk, what we want to do is we want to lay on hands anybody who wants the healing anointing and anybody who needs a miracle, we want to pray for. So that's what we want to do. I don't know how you want to do it. Your church, so if you want to run the show, we'll do it. That's what we want to do. Alright, so if anybody needs a miracle in their body, stand up. We're going to pray for you. Nobody needs you. Okay. And then if anybody wants healing anointing, they want the power to heal, we want to pray for you. So, how should we do? Should we have them come up? Should we go to them? What's the easiest way? Go get them. Alright. So, that's what we're going to do. If you need healing in your body, give us a hand so we can see you. If you want prayer to receive healing, I'm going to actually make you come up just so that we can kind of know who needs what. Okay?
And the worship team can come up unless you need healing in your body or you want to be prayed for. If you feel that you this morning, then by all means follow God's spirit, not the pattern of the house.
Amen.
So let's have some fun.